Welcome to the pod bay door.
Hello out there in the verse. This is the pod bay door. Please join us every Tuesday for informed discussions on new and upcoming movies, games, and tech. And if you love Las Vegas, stay tuned, because as Vegas insiders, we can give you a unique perspective on its history, provide insider information, and reveal the unknown secrets of our town, Vegas. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. We're glad you're with us. And hey, if you get the chance, subscribe to us and give us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Also, check in with us on our YouTube channel at the Pod Bay Door Podcast.
What is a podcast?
It seems to run on some form of electricity.
My name is Optimus Prime.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Get to the chopper!
Welcome, everybody. Holy cow. Episode 30. Nerds of the Verse unite.
Yes.
I'm with a bunch of guys here. We're back in the studio, thank gosh. I'm tired of the audio problems. My co-host Adam is here. Adam, welcome back.
What's going on?
Back at the table, we have Chris, Felix.
Hello.
And Sam, raised from the dead.
24/7.
The Highlander.
That's right. Well, welcome, guys. This is episode 30. Over 5,000 downloads.
Nice.
Subscribing is going up. Downloads are going up. We got all kind of people talking about us. Very happy about it. But we need. We're far short of Joe Rogan. So we need your help, Joe. We need to hit it.
We'll bring you some weed. Just meet up with us.
That's right.
Help
that's
our viewership.
Right. That's right. Well, there's somebody at the table who apparently knows a lot about weed. I'm not going to say who.
Huh.
We're all looking at Adam. That's what? Weird.
But coming up on this episode, we're going to discuss Jesus, Satan, and the gig economy, the devil's letter, King Arthur's sword, and why Star Wars is not real good resume point there.
Mm. Yeah. Not anymore.
Plus the topless report, Nerd Alert, Gear Grinders, and Area 52, all with a nerd twist. Keep those comments and show suggestions coming in. We do love them all. We'd look at them all. I will argue with anybody, so please send those in. TimTom36 commented off of WordPress. Love the show, guys. Thank you very much. We get a lot of those. Love the show, guys. I don't really mention a lot of them because it's self-serving, but we do get a lot of those. And he says, I'm a bridge player. Any bridge tournaments in town? Tim or Tom, I looked thoroughly, and there are some privatized bridge conventions or conferences in town, but I could not find any tournaments that the book's going to bet on.
Well, I was going to say, without really knowing, I would probably say no.
Yeah.
You know, most of the forms of poker have died off too.
Right.
You know, you're lucky to find anything besides a limit or a no limit.
Yeah,
table.
I mean, you know, the town, strangely enough, is diving in. Well, I mean, professional football is now going to be a giant cloud over us, but the esports, we're diving into esports.
Oh, yeah.
Which if you look back at episode like 10, I was not in favor of that. I didn't think anybody would show up.
Well, they keep building. If they build it, they will come, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And we're going to talk about the VR arena later on.
Yes.
So.
Well, plus at the Grand downtown, there's always tournaments going on. If it's not Super Smash Brothers, then it's Tekken or Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But almost every weekend there's a tournament going on.
But sure. Bridge, and oddly enough, I know how to play. I play a good game at Bridge.
Do you?
Yeah, I just don't know anybody that plays. Do you guys play?
No.
So
funny enough.
Is that an ancient game?
Olden days? Very much, yeah. But no, I mean, you need a partner, obviously. You need a partner that knows what they're doing. But, it's going to sound funny. I can't even find a house game.
No.
You know, where you go over and have some fun with your friends. Because,
sure.
I mean, it's old school.
Yeah, nobody knows how to play bridge anymore.
Well, I think the biggest bridge players are over at the retirement center, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You got the big money there.
Hey,
the shitty homes. Or
Now, what's well? Now, come on, now. Do you guys Pinochle? Do you know Pinochle?
I know Pinochle. Yeah. I play a little bit of that.
Do you really?
These are just these are ancient words to me. I don't understand.
I feel like you made
my grandma
up.
Used to play Pinochle. So
yeah.
So funny enough, fun fact: poker tables actually use bridge cards.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's a smaller, dimension and smaller numbers on the cards. Yeah, easier to kind of flex up and peek at them. Yeah,
gotcha. So
actually, bridge cards.
Okay. Okay. Well,
fun fact.
And now you know.
Now you know. Cribbage. You play cribbage?
I played a little cribbage.
All right.
Look at this. Quidditch.
Quidditch.
Man, Chris just went deer in the headlights. What? Yeah.
Chris, I don't understand what's going on, bro. I don't understand this show.
You guys these are old people.
These aren't real games. You're making this up.
Well, yeah, it's pre-D&D, I mean, for sure. Well, Tim Tom 36, thanks for the comment. If I find anything, I will email you for sure. But right now, there's nothing bettable, which is all that matters.
And come and play with us with Jamie.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Looking for a good partner.
Yeah, bring a hot chick and we'll play some bridge.
That's right.
Sonia.
Strip bridge.
Sonia Blades 2, although I would pronounce that Blattis, but okay. Sonia Blades 2 commented from Twitter. That's first funny. One I've allowed from Twitter to come in because I think Twitter is nonsense. But
you don't
okay.
want the tweets?
No, I don't want the tweets. No. When Trump stops tweeting, maybe it'll get cool again, but this is just.
I can only assume this is a Mortal Kombat fan.
That's what I thought. Yes. Yeah, totally.
Okay. But you guys are my drive to work every day. That is exactly what I planned. Exactly. 30 minutes in, 30 minutes out, or if you live in LA, halfway to work, you'll be done.
Yeah. Just that way you can download some more.
That's right. So talk more about Vegas Tech. Oh, gosh. Well, we try. And like Adam said, we got a VR thing coming up. Mm-hmm. So that'll be very cool. But we do. We have great conventions. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. So we will include as much as we can.
A quick small side note about Vegas Tech I was going to mention is some of the casinos are soon going to replace humans with freaking robots now at the bars.
Sure.
Robot bartenders?
Yeah.
Like what that movie?
It's actually happening. Some of the hotels are actually going to start doing it.
Yeah.
And they already have some self-dispensing bars, too, at some of the hotels. Like, you can get wine or beer.
Yeah.
You just walk up and just boom.
Just put your glass on it. Sure. Dispense to itself, right?
It's kind of like a little key, and it kind of allows you a certain amount.
It's not quite like the passenger.
I don't think that's cool.
That's what I'm waiting for.
I'm waiting for the passenger's AI.
But see, I don't think that's cool, though. Like, it takes away the Vegas magic, you know, like what happened to the human interaction? Like,
no, nobody wants that anymore.
It's so hard to just have a conversation.
Nobody cares for that. Really.
We'll have
look me in the eyes.
We'll have robot dealers. We'll have robot bartenders.
If I was a bartender, you take my alcohol. You look me in the eyes. All right, you look me right in the eyes when you take my alcohol.
No,
you don't just look away.
No, you
got to have that poor man's psychiatrist, right?
Yeah,
that's what you are, right?
That's what I was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think of the scenario now. You book your Uber. You hop in the car. You don't talk to that guy.
Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm.
You hop. You tweet your drink order. You pick it up from a machine. You sit down to a machine, and
it's got a robot playing.
It's got, a robot pitching cards, and because they don't serve drinks anymore, and you don't have a green light, you're not going to get any more drinks. And you have talked to no one.
Zero interaction.
Welcome to the world, folks.
Right.
Welcome to the world. Sonia Blades 2. Thank you very much for the comment, and thanks everybody for the comment. Again, we really appreciate that. Please subscribe and get those comments in. Whatever you have a question about, if you think my ravings are nonsense, please tell me, and I'll tell you why they're not. we are to the topless report, the superhero topless report. Are they ever naked?
Are they?
Yes.
Question.
That's why we had Chris here. He's naked pretty much all the time from what I hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And also only
on Tuesdays.
And also a superhero.
Well, it depends what day.
And also a superhero, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, no, you have kids. You have kids. You're a superhero.
I have animals.
Yeah, so. No. He's got fur babies.
Fur babies.
Right.
My dog and my cats.
You have a dog and a cat?
Three cats.
You have three cats and a dog?
Mm-hmm. And I love them all.
Are they mean? Are they mean to the dog?
They don't really approve of his energy sometimes, I guess you could say, because he's a Chihuahua Dachshund mix, so he's a little shit sometimes.
He's a little biter.
He's got a lot of energy. Yeah. Well,
sometimes. Just unlike me and Jose.
Yeah, well, they don't want him to eat him.
He actually pulls my pants, so.
Yeah, because he thinks he's a stomp on him.
Because I'm too tall.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, the cats are cool. They're older cats. So the old lady, she doesn't really like you know, approve of him sometimes, so she'll give him the occasional smack.
But, gotcha. Yeah, cool. I've seen that.
Stop prancing around me. Smack.
Yeah.
4 million YouTube videos about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's that old joke? Dogs have family, cats have staff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But, all right, guys. Nudity in comics and hero films. Deadpool, I'm going to put out there first and foremost. Yeah. I think I'm going to risk it and say it broke the mold. I mean, obviously, there's some when comic films and presentations were first starting, you know, a while back, and Marvel didn't have a foothold. There was some in there, like the Punisher films and things of that nature.
It helped push story along for sure.
Yeah, but
it did.
You know, and I'll skip ahead a little bit. You know, Disney. Owning most of everything and now owning the Marvel franchise and now ripping it away from Netflix. They've done their fair share of they have, you know, and back in the day they instigated Miramax Films, which was allowed them to have films with adult content. I don't mean pornography, but I mean they could have nudity, they could have cursing, and not have you know, all the little tiny tweeny Jasmine fans out there, you know.
Yeah, having to come back to Disney.
Agape, yeah. But is that a good thing? Because now you guys are very familiar with comic books, graphic novels, and the presentations, anime, and quite obviously there's adult themes in those. Why do you think Marvel should continue with its clean nature? What do you think that Captain America should be Captain America all the way? And yes, Captain America is a man and white.
Hey, he totally kissed a girl in the last one.
He
all right?
did.
Are we also talking about?
I love that bro moment between
Marvel TV shows too on Netflix. Because I mean, those guys kind of throw out the PG part. Like, for
That's maybe hardcore PG-13. You know, they're fighting people, they're bloodying people up, but there's no nudity in Daredevil.
There was a little bit in Luke Cage when he asked all those ladies if they want coffee, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, but it never showed anything.
Yeah. I don't really think it's necessary.
It showed, what's her name? Boob?
Oh, Misty?
Yeah, Misty. Misty Knight? Yeah. The only thing it didn't show was with Jessica Jones, didn't show much there. Well, but I mean, I enjoyed the actual, you know, maybe, like you said, hard PG, the fighting scenes and the violence, you know.
I think it depends on the characters themselves. The dark nature, I think, is more appropriate for certain characters. But, somebody like Captain America, who's a full-on Boy Scout, like, what's the point of trying to make him edgy? Look at him.
He's not going to be edgy.
Well, Marvel hasn't been edgy.
I mean, there's certain characters. Like, you look at the Daredevil season one, you know, like, that's one of the first ones that actually, like, really earned its, like, kind of R-rated status with just the ultra-violence or whatever. It's more dark, you know, it's grittier
and then,
nature.
And then season two, the freaking prison scene when Punisher's taking them all
out.
Yeah,
with the character like Punisher.
Oh. That's all violence and stuff, but there hasn't really been in much.
As far as nudity, it wouldn't do anything other than fan service.
The only thing I could come up with was Watchmen. As full as, like, you know, the full frontal blue man. You know,
the blue man dong.
Yeah, and then in comics, it's a lot more prevalent. Something like, you know, Preacher, or what else did I have written down?
Yeah, but you know, Watchmen. However, you know, Zach did with it. I think it was way back in the closet, over to the left. You know, behind the old school papers that my mom keeps. You know, I mean, it wasn't mainstream in the front. And I think that's probably...
So was Preacher, you know, you're not finding that.
You know, Well, I mean, AMC, you know, with its presentations, Walking Dead, you know, obviously it put both feet into the pool at that point, you know, with the gore. But again, we're afraid of nudity. Where, you know, Disney has a reputation way back with Bambi, you know, and the controversy that it was caused with Bambi. I mean, the mother dying and the shotgun going off and the kids hearing it, Old Yeller killing the dog, you know. So Disney was no.
They weren't afraid of pushing the
envelope. They weren't afraid of it, but boy, I'll tell you, you know, you talk about I mean, men aside, I mean, you know, that's the litmus test to where it goes from R to X to so on, PG-13 and so on and so forth, is a guy's nudity. But Chris, you think that it's not necessary in the mainstream Marvel films, the Marvel universe, with Disney's influence, they're never going to have any sexuality involved.
No, I mean, I just don't see the need for it. I mean, as a you know, full-blooded male. I mean, like, it of course I love like stuff like that, but it doesn't really, like, call for it. It doesn't enhance it in any sort of way other than just a
No, it's not like they've glossed over completely, you know, relationships.
They've hinted at something.
Hinted at all the you know, they have the Hawkeye's wife, and they had, you know, Black Widow. And
yeah,
Hulk,
but it's not trying to be overly sexual in any sort of way. It's more like this is like just kind of hinting at the family.
Or Scarlet Witch, too. You know, like, they had her.
And Vision.
Yeah, and Vision.
Yeah, but that's like, you know,
like they hint at it. They just never really, that's never really part of their main focus.
Yeah.
You know, they're the only pushing, thing that kind of bummed, other stories.
The only thing that really bummed me out was when Disney took over Star Wars and they announced that they're stopping any form of slave Princess Leia. I was like, why? That's what everyone grew up on.
Wait, they're going to like stop sending out that image or
yeah, what? like Disney has shut down like slave Princess Leia. So anything slave Princess Leia related. They it's done. Like Disney will no longer.
So no official cosplays for it.
Yeah, like whoever's cosplaying as Slave Princess Leia, Disney.
Yeah, it's gonna be a homemade thing.
Yeah, it's gonna be a homemade thing. They don't care because like they stopped producing everything, like the costumes and toys, like whatever.
Well, like you guys went to Level Up for the podcast, and they had that very intricate costume.
Oh yeah.
Now I don't remember if she had a chain on her.
I don't think she did.
No chain.
Yeah.
No chain.
Although, I don't think that had anything to do with slavery.
With why it was canceled or anything.
Well, no, it was just more of a safety issue and a pain in the ass. I mean, she didn't want to be, you know, hooked to the Jabba. Yeah. But,
literally,
oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm not going to get into the whole, you know...
the feminist side of it?
No, the slavery part. Good God. Come on, people. It's
take the chains off.
All right. You know, I mean, it was, I think, the finest moment in Star Wars. It was the one that got that young boys and men remember the most. I mean, what's the first thing when you talk about it, when you look back on that particular movie? Leia's outfit.
Absolutely.
And Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. And who killed Jabba? Leia did.
She did.
That's right.
In the costume.
That's right.
These are all women positive empowerment. Things. These are all positive things. But yet Disney frowns upon it.
Yeah. So as a group of...
You didn't at the time.
Right. No, it didn't at the time, for sure. Oh, absolutely not. And I think altering all these things just for the modern day.
Yeah, it's the same thing as like taking down the statues and stuff, you know?
Well, it's like giving everyone a trophy again.
Yeah, like, that's what, erasing history, you know?
That's what Adam and I, you know, talked about. It's just, instead of tearing down the old, why don't you build something new? Why don't you build something good?
Yeah.
You know, don't.
Oh, they are. They're building what's called a football stadium, soccer stadiums, and apparently more stadiums for everybody.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everybody gets a stadium nowadays.
That's right. That's right.
So ridiculous.
So what do you guys think about
the Mayweather fight? Oh, that thing was a joke. No, I'm kidding.
Bringing it back.
No. It was $60 million that I wish I had that I could have fought for that. But what do you think of Disney's influence on Marvel? Were you guys disappointed when you first heard? Do you think they've done well? Money aside, obviously Disney has billions to throw into the brand
and the production. And
that's great. Yeah. But have they heard it? Have they helped it? Have they?
I think
not
it's
done
been
anything?
A pretty good arrangement so far.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, they have a lot of money to put into these productions, and the movies all are looking. You know, they scaling up and they're making more money as they go. And
for me, I feel mixed.
Pushing
about
the limit
because like. I feel like they fell into a formula box now.
Okay.
So they have this algorithm they use, this formula of the movie styles, and then they're like, okay, just keep stamping and making it. Just keep stamping and making it. You know, like, the original magic is kind of gone a little bit. You know, the magic of, like, when you first saw Iron Man, like, that kind of magic, I think, has died away just a little bit.
Right.
Sometimes the directors do help out and bring in something new to the table, but when the directors do bring something to the table, they end up getting compromised because Disney wants this scene, that scene. Like, they have to hit certain key demographics. And I think that kind of ties the hands of the director sometimes. Like, the situation with Age of Ultron, we didn't already plan out these scenes, but, like, there were times where Disney want this scene done. He didn't want to do it, but they're like, okay, well, you don't do our scene, you can't do your scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more magic can happen if Disney just put
the
money in.
There was less restriction.
Yeah, if Disney puts some money in and just
let the studio go.
Yeah, let the directors do what they're hired to do, and you'll get that magic you're looking for easily. But sometimes you can kind of feel
attention. Well, how about this? In the Han Solo spin-off movie, Disney didn't like the way it was headed. They fired those two directors. They didn't want Han Solo looking like an Ace Ventura. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It could swing both ways.
Yeah. Well, I think Star Wars is also
50-50.
Star Wars is very much like a product nowadays, more than it is like a film series these days, where it's Disney is basically maintaining what this product is supposed to be. Yeah. And so whenever you have creative directors, I think they're basically just trying to maintain what they had in line. You know, they're trying to hire guns, you know, to make sure that this is done to what their standard is. And when you get more creative people, they want to do more original ideas where this is not something that's original. This is Star Wars. You know, they want to keep it at Star Wars. So why change what they want? So I think that's why they're getting rid of these more creative directors.
Well, it's exactly what Steven Soderbergh is fighting. He's trying to, as an artist, as a director, as a writer, producer, to maintain his level of production and creativity and not have to be beholden to the brand. Everything's a brand now. Now, granted, Disney is, and their people are masters at maintaining a brand. I mean, good Lord, I can't even imagine their risk management department, you know, and their that deal with all the knockoff stuff and things like that. Just literally, that's all they do is protect their brand. But I think
I doubt they're fighting China right now. I doubt they're going to China to stop them from
making knockoffs.
Yeah, I think the Marvel that you guys like, the Marvel that I like. I think it's going to suffer ultimately because the brand management does become, like you said, Sam, a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, you know, the producers and directors of the Marvel Universe, I think they've established a relationship with Disney with some creative rights. I mean, they do, but and they aren't trying to do anything controversial, but they're going to need to. Because I think, now here's a question, do you think DC would do well to be more cutting edge, to have a little nudity, to have a little darkness? I mean, they're trying, but just, you know,
I'm afraid you can't push the envelope too far. You know, they're already getting on DC for being too dark.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess at this point, anything that'll change it up a little bit, you know, make them different from Marvel.
I think they could implement it more so than Marvel. I don't think it's necessarily a beneficial thing, but, you know, DC is also known for, you know, some sexualized female characters, particularly in the Batman area. You know, you have characters like Catwoman, Poison Ivy, so they can definitely push that envelope.
And definitely Harley Quinn.
Yeah, and, you know, she kind of already is with the, you know, the booty shorts and everything, and that's great. You know,
but we'll see if they end up making that Sirens movie.
Gotham City Sirens.
Well, like for me, like, you guys seen it. We've been talking about it, discussing about the whole Josh Whedon coming on board now, the Justice League, to lighten things up a little bit. So, you know, we'll see how that goes, because they issued reshoots and rewrites.
Yeah, they say he's changed 30% of the script already.
30%?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's actually getting an official writer's credit.
Yeah, he is. I was going to say, for a Marvel and Disney combo, one director definitely sticks out in my mind besides Whedon. Was also James Gunn, like, because he took the property of Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, that was one property I was glad Disney gave to him, and they didn't really say much. They're like, here,
this is an unknown, go with it.
Yeah. Here, make some money out of this.
Yeah.
And then, boom, it backfired and blew up.
It's like the superstars, like all the main known characters, they want to keep it to a particular formula, where the lesser known characters, which is a smarter idea, let them do a more unique twist on it because people aren't as familiar with these characters. So,
kind of like Ant-Man, you know, some comedy into it.
I really enjoyed Ant-Man. I don't know why everyone hates on it. I like Ant-Man. I met a lot of folks that didn't enjoy it, but I love Ant-Man. That was hilarious.
No, that was good.
The fact that it's a movie about the second most popular Ant-Man is just astounding.
It exists. Plus, don't forget, Baskin-Robbins always finds out.
Yeah.
Well,
it's only so they can go back and, you know, do the original Ant-Man later on in a flashback movie. You know?
Right.
Well, and it also has the hottest elf ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah.
I follow her Instagram. She's getting ready.
She's buffed.
Yeah.
She's got some guns.
Yeah.
You know she was on Lost, right?
Yeah.
Your favorite show.
Got it in.
I know. Would you arm wrestle her now in her current state? She's pretty buff.
Mm-hmm. Shit, I would.
I'll wrestle her anyway. That's fine. Nerd alert. I'm going to do it this time, Adam, but you guys are going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. I got some cool things, and we'll rip through these. There is a new AI algorithm that has a 91% accuracy of determining if you're gay or straight.
I like it.
I think it's hilarious.
It literally is gaydar.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, seriously. 91%.
91%.
But who? Think about its uses in the casino, though.
Who used their time, though, just to make this? Like, was it like some right-wing, like, Christian person. Like, I'm going to build this machinery just to help me in my church.
Second, I can get these gays out.
Yeah.
Out of my church.
No, no. Like, he tries it. He's like, oh, wait, wait. It's reflecting me. No. I need to reverse the algorithm.
Yeah, but the article that I read did not come to any conclusion as to why. You know, I found that very strange. And obviously, whoever this individual is brilliant and is going to be immediately attacked.
Yeah.
But I can't figure out on a scientific level
why or how that it figures it out. All right. So what I read was it's just something about the, you know, facial features, you know, being that some, you know, gay women are more masculine and some gay men are more feminine. And then it uses that sort of algorithm to somehow come up with it.
I just want to say I feel bad for the person that made this app because the LBG community is they're getting ready. The pitchfork.
Oh, absolutely.
The signs. Oh, it's, you know, absolutely. Like,
I doubt it's an app right now.
He's ready to be condemned. Yeah. I mean, whoever made this program or algorithm is done.
Yeah.
Is done.
But, yeah, I mean, it's...
I thought it was funny because the article I read mentioned that, you know, the next step, you know, in the process would then be to, you know... find out what they are based on your political motives, their financial background, whatever. And then you can start basically, you know, singling out people based on just whatever you plug into the algorithm.
They could use it for, you know, for voting bias. They could
Exactly.
I just found that funny. And the fact that I mean, anything above, you know, 80 is amazing, but 91%.
I'm just picturing what's called X-Men right now, like Peter Dinklage creating a sentinel just to find all the gays.
It's gonna round up all the gays.
pre-crime of the gays.
My gosh.
Moving away from the gay issue, because I don't want those emails.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong against it, trust me.
But if you're going to into Walmart and hear a beep, guess
yeah. Right, security's gonna be like, "Are you gay or are you stealing something?"
Exactly. So, are you guys familiar with the gig economy? You guys know what that is?
I was once I looked this topic up.
That's not fair. You don't get to answer. Well, the gig economy is actually we have a mutual friend who apparently refuses to come on the show. But that's fine. His name is I'm not going to say his name because he doesn't deserve it. But he is just recently upped with Lyft. He's a Lyft driver.
Yep.
And ride hail services, Uber Eats, Lyfts, anything that is a temporary subcontracted thing they're now calling a gig economy, meaning that it's ride for ride, sandwich for sandwich that you deliver, and it's a show term for us, especially in the production industry.
Per gig.
It's a gig. Yeah. But the first man, his name is Rafe Lawson, and if the description of him and his lawsuit has any thing to say about him as a person, I would not like him. But he has now has the first lawsuit and trial over the gig economy.
Right.
He was released by well over three. He was a driver. He was a delivery person. He was a temporary worker at a factory like an Amazon, and he was released by one of those, and he's now suing. Because he feels that as a subcontracted worker, he reached a certain level of employee and therefore should have insurance benefits and right to fire benefits and at will state benefits. And of course the company says no. Now it's changing the employment environment completely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you feel that being a Lyft driver, that you have the right to sue if they were to release you based on your rating? Because Lyft drivers, if you don't know, for all the people out there, you're rated by the driver, and you rate the driver rates you, which I think is funny. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you, as a customer, if you get a bad rating, they won't pick you up.
Yeah, and you have a choice to, you know, all the ratings are shown for you, so you can pick the guy that has five stars or four stars or whatever.
Now, I gave the guy, I recently did Lyft. I went to, you know, Adam and I talked about it, I gave the guy a hard time. His name was Jose. He came up, and I noticed the girl that was supposed to pick us up had a problem. She couldn't pick us up. She had a 4.9. And the guy that picked us up, Jose, who was a very nice guy, had a 4.8. And when we got in the car and got on our way, I said, hey, so what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
You know, why'd you lose the point?
Right, yeah, what's up?
And I asked him, how many bad reviews does it take to get you from 4.9 to 4.8? And right. He said anywhere between 5 and 10, depending on the what's wrong with the rating. If you were just late or something like that, it means more or less than it does, like if you were profane to the customer.
Right, it's got its own algorithm.
Yeah, but it takes about 10 hits to move you down 0.1.
Okay.
This guy, what was his name? Rafe, was fired because of a rating issue and feels that he should be compensated because he was beyond a subcontract employee. And
well, I mean, these guys sign electronic contracts anyway, right? Yeah, this is all spelled out for them.
Like somewhere in the fine print.
You're not getting benefits because you guys pick your own hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You work when you want to. Right. You get to pick which rides you want to take and which rides you don't.
Right. And that's another thing that he was called to the mat on and is included in the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Or
his acceptability rate.
And they said, you were terrible. You were absolutely terrible.
Yeah, you don't take anybody. Yeah. And why should you be entitled benefits?
Right. And his claim was to that, his answer to that was that he felt that he was getting fake rides, that for some reason the rides were not showing up. And
that was costing him money somehow.
Yeah.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a big case of the lazy.
He
wants free money. Hand me out.
Yeah, he wants to do what he wants to do, and he wants the company to pay for his time, even if he's not putting it in.
Will he accept trophies? Like, is he okay with accepting 3 trophies from all these companies? Just give him a little trophy?
He's okay.
Instead of a paycheck?
Yeah, he's okay accepting the 7 figures he's asked for.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So. Well, this could set precedent, though, you know, if the court decides to go with this guy.
That's ridiculous.
Now they all be considered employees, and now they all get benefits.
Now, in your 30s and on the ass end of the millennial scale, do you like the gig economy?
I don't know why
Chris,
I like that term.
Chris,
though.
For example,
ass end of the millennial. That's
I thought you meant the gig economy. Now, Chris, you have a full time position, or mm-hmm. on the outer rim of it, we could actually say that you have you're sort of part of that, aren't you?
Got a couple, gigs because there's the instant feedback, with the whole Yelp mm-hmm. scenario, whatnot. So. It's just one of those things where, like this guy, he just sounds particularly salty because he got called out on his bullshit.
Yeah.
We're kind of the same thing, but only it's a one-way kind of conversation. We can get reviewed, but we can't, speak back.
Yeah.
But we can absolutely, kind of get screwed because this person is just, in a bad mood, and mm-hmm. all they have to do is leave one review, and then all of a sudden I'm getting sat down. Like, well, what's this all about? I'm like, right. I have no idea. This guy's just a salty motherfucker, and he wants to call me out for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's not fair at all. It's not fair at all because it leaves room for those that love to complain.
Yeah.
It gives them all the power in the world to complain mm-hmm. more and just more. Get more
it's free giving stuff. Idiots a blowhorn to kind of speak their opinion that should not be heard sometimes because some people just want free
shit. You mean
shit.
The internet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, people are entitled to their opinion, just some should not be heard.
Now they did make the distinction, and this actually affects you, Chris. You are not part of the gig economy as it's defined mm-hmm. Because, as a server, as a bartender, the gig economy is defined as you'd serve the one guy and then go, mm-hmm. which I think would be fantastic.
Oh, it'd be great.
You pick the one guy, give him a beer, and you're out.
Yeah.
But you're very close. I mean, mm-hmm. you work, two different scenarios. But you're right. I mean, I think it's an unfair, although I think this Rafe Lawson guy is a crank and looking for a payday, it is unfair to, I think there's more undeserved complaints about servers, about gig economy workers, than there are good ones. And I think it's impossible to determine. I mean, there's no algorithm right now in the world that will determine why you lost 0.1. You went from 4.9 to 4.8.
Unless you found it on the dark web.
Unless we get the guy that created the gay thing.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. On the dark web.
That's right.
You figure anything out on the dark web.
That's right.
We don't talk about the dark web, bro. Folks out here don't know.
The first rule of the dark web is you don't talk about the dark web.
You know nothing, just though.
All right. Well, we'll keep the gig economy as a potential topic.
Yeah, we're going to have to get
that's going to blow up.
The unnameless on the show so you can talk about it.
Oh, that's right. Speaking of gig economy, certain other countries have kicked out Lyft or Uber mm-hmm. just because it took out from their daily money making. Like, I think it was India, one of the places they were fighting to get a Lyft or Uber out of their country so that they can just continue the whole taxi thing so people can keep making a living. Because a lot of folks don't know how to use the app. They just know how to drive the vehicle.
Yeah.
I was watching it on Vice News. It was very interesting.
Well, that's for a select few that know how to work a phone.
I think Uber markets itself as far more popular than it is, and ride-hailing services in general. I mean, they are popular with a certainly the current and one removed generations. But I think taxis are a rough bunch, and they are not happy that they lost.
No, they were pretty pissed in Vegas.
Yeah, they were. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, and still, I mean, they jam. You know, Uber and Lyft and all the hailers. You're not allowed to pick up in taxi areas.
They have their own special areas.
You're on
a
little corner of the valet, and you're just above a pizza delivery dude.
Pretty much.
Yeah. As far
sadly.
To the taxi people, to them, they're like, you go pick them up in the FU area.
Basically, right?
Yeah.
You're in the corner down the street next to this group of undesirables.
Which is funny because, you know, there's really no reason for hotels to shun pizza and Uber and everything. They're all bringing people there. I mean, that's what they want. They want gamblers, you know, and that's funny. Yeah. But, all right, we got this one I love. And I don't know if you guys read about this at all, but there was it's the devil letter. It's referred to as the devil letter.
Devil.
And it was a 17th century nun that wrote this letter. And it was really undecipherable until only recently. And really, it was taken on face value. They knew it was about Jesus and Satan and the relationship between those two individuals and the world. But they didn't really know what it said.
Did they? Did they really know?
I think they did. I think they did, because there was some Latin-based verbiage in there, but there was some not. There was some that was just unrelatable to any language at the time. Well, there were two Chinese, one was a physicist and one was a mathematician. And using a darknet decryption code.
Darknet.
Yes.
Yeah. They decrypted this, and they found out and they have determined with theologians that she was either schizophrenic or bipolar. Because what she was saying was, and I found it very interesting, they have finally determined the two words that they couldn't figure out for the longest time. And she referred to Jesus and Satan as dead weight to the world.
Yeah.
And that's where they started to turn the corner and say that she wasn't, you know, firing on all cylinders. But for the longest time, this was a huge issue for the Catholic Church. And they would
say, because nobody knew what it said.
Right. And the Catholic Church is big on talk about another brand master. They're big on keeping their brand.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they you mentioned the devil letter and you were done. I mean, you were just set aside. Mm-hmm. You were not allowed to
nobody
speak to them.
Of this.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, I wish I would known that when I was going to Sunday school. But like devil letter? Like, oh, no more class.
Yeah, okay. You're out.
Sunday school, sorry.
Yeah, but apparently these guys surfed the dark net and had this code for a while.
Right.
They had this algorithm and couldn't apply it to anything, and then found this, and it was very
I think it's very coincidental.
Yeah, don't you?
Yeah, super coincidental. I don't believe in ghosts, and I don't believe in the devil.
Do you believe in climate change?
Climate change?
No.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Science, okay? Science, bitch.
Good. Okay. Make sure we can still be friends. Okay.
Flat Earth.
Yeah, the flat Earth. That's right.
Hey, under that flat Earth, it's lizard people.
I know.
So be careful.
Crazy.
Flat Earthers. Do you have any friends that are flat Earthers?
God, I hope not. If they are, they're not friends anymore.
I had a guy I worked with.
Do you have any?
I knew a guy I worked with who's a flat
Earther. Actually, we have a mutual friend, dude.
For real, though.
Joe.
Joe who?
Munn.
That's right. That dude's fucking weird, though.
He believes the Earth is super flat, and he's from the military. He's like, he believes the Earth is
now
like,
for
that
real.
He's always
though.
Been like a conspiracy theorist, though.
Oh man.
Now for real, though. I mean, they actually.
You know,
believe,
I'm not quite sure.
No.
Now I know a person like this. I'm not going to say who it is. I have very few friends, so you can probably determine who it is. do you have any new Earthers?
No, 10,000 years or less.
Earth was just like 10,000 years or less old. No, those are more so than flat earthers, because I mean, quite honestly, it's like climate change. Yeah, duh. You know, it's clearly not flat. New earthers are a big deal, and new earthers combine the fact that the Earth is less than 10,000 years old. And they have a whole religious bent on that, and that they're combative, strange individuals, and I know one of them.
Do you?
Oh yes, really? Yes. And I avoid that like the plague.
These new earthers, are they vegetarian or are they meat eaters?
I don't know. Vegan? I don't know.
I want to know their preference.
Jamie's vegan, and he's not a flat earther.
That's right.
But doesn't speak for all the vegans. Doesn't speak for all the vegans.
Look at Sam talking smack over here on the vegans. Right. You people.
Yeah, aren't the Asians mainly vegetarian?
No, bro.
No.
The monks are. The monks are.
Now, did you guys? I don't know if you guys listened to the last podcast. You better have. did you hear us talk about the fact that 95% of Asians are lactose intolerant? Do you believe that?
Kind of, sorta. Yeah. It all depends on if you're born over in the Asian countries, you're born in America.
Yes, I agree with
like that determines. But not everybody's gonna be lactose intolerant. Like Chai, he isn't, because when he was a kid, he drank a lot of milk, so it helped him out.
Where was Chai born? In Thailand?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it seems like we have some weird people involved. Oh, we have a few.
We have. Oh yeah, we know.
We can draw. We can draw. We can get some comments. We can drop.
We should.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Are we just gonna start trolling people? Is our new goal?
No. True. We don't have to. We're saying it like it is. It's like we're saying, listen, the Earth.
But they can't handle the facts.
Oh, I'll hear
well,
it.
Well, yeah. We want the comments.
Yeah, yeah. We want the comments. That means people are listening and talking, and I want an open forum here. But I'll get it. Yeah. 10,000 years. I'm saying the Earth is more than 10,000 years old.
Careful, Jamie. They're going to tear down your statue.
That's right.
They're going to tear down your statue right away.
No, I'm putting the gay thing right on the doorstep there. They're
going to hunt you down at every tropical smoothie.
All right. Well, here's the one that everybody at the panel has been waiting for.
Yes.
The young lady in Cornwall. Cornwall Britain, and Cornwall is also the location of a show called Doc Martin. If anybody cares, if anybody's listening that loves that show, Martin Clune plays Doc Martin, and he's this wonderful place in Cornwall. There's the place called Dosemary Pool, which if there's also theologians and historians that can pinpoint where King Arthur was. Where he was Sir Bedivere, yeah, threw the sword, and the Lady of the Lake reached up and grabbed it and took it into the pool. This apparently is the pool.
If you know the legend,
if you believe that it's real or not, the individuals, you know, that we can trace, there was an Arthur and there was this, there was that, was a Sir Bedivere.
Right.
But this young lady found a little 4-foot sword.
In the same pool.
Yeah, buried into. She walked over it with her foot and found the sword and pulled it out. And they claimed it was Excalibur. Well, the problem is that no one knows if Excalibur was real, you know, and the debate will go on forever, and that's fine. But there's a gentleman that lives in Cornwall that says, I made that and put it in the lake.
He's like, actually, this is what went down.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a LARPer.
Yeah, he's a LARPer. That's right.
And just to, complete the honorable thing. He took one of his swords and he threw it in the lake.
Yes.
Just like Arthur.
That's right. And his name was Mark Wilkins. Mark either has or needs a hobby. I don't know why we're throwing swords in the lake, but clearly it's not Excalibur.
Well, obviously he's keeping it real.
Clearly, if I lived 100 in England next to the same lake that King Arthur threw the sword in, I would have to find a sword to throw in the pool. Would you not? like throwing a coin in the fountain, right? Like
that's kind of that's how it happens.
That's going to give you good luck.
Yeah. So we'll all go to England, and then we're all
going to forge a sword.
Well, there's money to be made. I mean, they make a ton of money over tours to Stonehenge, you know. Yeah. And what people don't realize
is their own sword and throw it in the lake. We could do that as a business.
Now, would it be offensive for me to throw in the Asian sword? Like, is that offensive?
Like a scimitar?
A samurai sword?
Yeah, katana?
Well, it would be incongruous, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right? You can't mix Mexican and continental.
That's right. But, no, there's money to be made out there, and I'm surprised, and I'm very... incredulous about stories of this nature, and I just wonder,
I think, because it might have been kind of
because
a
there
hoax.
Is yeah well I mean it,
like there's a, money a planned to, thing yeah, I mean for be, exposure
because there's, you know, like Loch Ness and yes. Ness and Nessie, which, you know, I don't like when they disprove things like the Shroud of Turin. You know, they clearly said, well, it can't be Jesus because it's not right. I mean, there's not the right timing, and Nessie and Loch Ness, and they found this is not possible. It's discouraging to me when they ruin childhood.
Just writing off myths.
Yeah, and I fear that these individuals are just starting to make a money making venture.
I see.
You know,
I see.
Not necessarily
planting the seed.
Yeah, make your own sword and throw it in there, or buy a sword shaped duck feeder and throw it in for the ducks,
or to set up a booth.
Yeah,
and charge everyone $5 to go find the sword.
Exactly.
There
oh,
you
that's
go.
Not even there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there's one sword per day.
Oh,
so
right.
only one person
right, right.
can find it.
Yeah.
Right.
Then you got to throw it back in the lake.
Right. But it's perfectly built for that type of scenario. I mean, it is the Nessie of swords.
Yeah. Sounds like Vegas is going to do it first, and I'm sure someone in Vegas is going to do it
okay.
first.
Okay. Excalibur Casino, what up?
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
It's giving its own attraction.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of City Slickers too, where they're like looking for the gold. It's like this one game they got to go seek out the gold and treasure map.
Totally.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. It's just kind of weird that they stumble upon this sword and like it's Excalibur. Like that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's the myth of the lake, right?
And I saw the sword, the kid holding the sword in the picture.
It was clearly like a movie prop.
Well, yeah. I mean, or it was like, you know, Adam Savage on his new show. I mean, what are they? I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, Adam Ruins Everything?
Right. There you go.
Is that the one?
No,
that's
no.
It's called it.
No, you were, no, test it. Test. Test it. And he makes all these. He did make a very cool sniper Nerf rifle, though. I have to give him credit on that. It was fantastic.
Nice.
But he makes all the famous swords and things, and he does it in one show one day.
Yeah.
Nice. And it was clearly not the Excalibur that I want to see.
No.
You know, it was.
No.
It was terrible.
It was like a $10 sword off of some random knife website that the guy was like, I'm going to throw this in the pool and be cool about it.
But, I think Sam's right. I think there's a booth going to pop up in a small parking lot and it's just going to ruin it.
Don't
forget, there'll be a bunch of hipster millennial food trucks.
That's right. That's right.
Parked around the lake.
Yeah,
come on down.
Yeah,
look for the sword. Get some food.
They all have King Arthur and the Round Table names.
Yeah,
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
That's a good one. See, we're giving out free ideas, bro. We gotta hold this back.
Sir Gawain's gyros.
Thank you.
That was a good one. I appreciate that one.
And Uber parking will be around the rock in the corner.
In the corner.
That's right. All right, the Concierge Chronicle this week. Of course, we're gonna have we're gonna call it Scene Stealers. It's an entertainment review, and we got a whole bunch of things. I'm gonna kind of hand it off to the guys, but I'll bring it up each one. It came out. It actually did not suck.
It did not suck.
However, it does suck to all the clowns. clown.
Just a little bit.
The clowns have united across the world. There's clown associations. there's all different clown colleges.
Yeah.
And they are up in arms. Because now, as if clowns weren't already...
Because now they have something they can rally about.
Right. As if clowns weren't already scaring children around the world.
Enough.
They're gonna say it is the problem. Well, apparently, you know, it doesn't care.
So it's an issue?
Yeah.
It is an issue.
Now, I liked the television version. I thought Tim Curry was fantastic as Pennywise. I'm thrilled to see that a Stephen King film didn't flop.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, though, the minute it didn't flop, what was the talk? Sequel. There is no sequel to It. Stop talking about that. I don't want to see any more Pennywise. I want to see one fantastic film and leave it there.
You know, the problem with that, though, is there's no It 2 book, right? Somebody else has to write the draft, and it's not going to be Stephen King.
Well, it's going to be, when the kids are adults, because in the original miniseries, it's sort of a two-part thing where it's all the kids, they deal with the giant spider thingy, and then... you know, there's adults. Whatever. You've had how many years to watch this?
Yeah.
It's not a great movie, by the way, if you look back in hindsight.
the 90s miniseries?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But eventually they become adults and they're still haunted by Pennywise. And so I think, you know,
it would
seeing,
be like the next.
It kind of makes sense in a way. I don't think it's necessarily kind of stretching it out. You know, it's kind of continuing the story. The book is only like, 1,100 pages?
There's freaking huge.
Plenty of material to base it off of. So I haven't read it myself, but I hear it's pretty accurate to what's in the books. So it kind of makes sense that they would continue it as long as this one was a success.
Well, I'm glad it's getting better reviews than our good old friend Dark Tower.
Dark Tower?
So bummed out.
That was sad. Sad face. Too short.
Too soon.
It was way too short.
Yeah. How many books are there for that series?
Oh, just like seven.
And they tried to compress that
into an hour and a half. Yeah, exactly. That's sad. But anyway, today's Saturday, and actually it came out, so the Thursday nights was kind of breaking all these records. It was $13.5 million just Thursday night. And that's the highest ever horror movie, highest ever September release, highest ever R-rated release, highest ever Stephen King adaption. Wow. And also the third highest Thursday release this year.
Wow.
Nice.
Behind Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Beauty and the Beast.
That's crazy.
So it shows that America likes to be scared.
Right.
Well, still, you know, if they make them right,
right.
They don't make horrors like they used to. No. But this one's getting, what is it, 88%?
It's at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes and 90% from the audience.
Yeah, but I think as a show, we're against Rotten Tomatoes, aren't we?
Sometimes.
Unfortunately, we still have to reference them because they're...
The conspiracy theorists around me, they're not fans of it.
There was another article a couple days ago how Hollywood is starting to turn their backs on them.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
You never know.
But I do have a really strange number for you. Do you know, speaking, and I'm glad Chris ruined the end for all the kids with the spider, but I'm glad he did it because it's basically, it breaks down to a spider film. And do you know the spider film that it has been played the most on every medium? Big screen, little screen, downloads, streaming.
Is it Arachnophobia?
It is not.
Is it Eight-Legged Freaks?
It is indeed.
Yes.
No way.
Eight-Legged
Freaks. No way.
Yes. It is the worst, best movie to watch ever.
That was the first Sharknado.
Dude, you don't understand, man. That movie saved my life. I was on a long flight. It was a long flight, and I was like, this whole movie is playing. I was like, all right, I'm going to plug it in and just freaking listen to it. And next thing you know, I'm laughing. I'm enjoying it. It's so stupid. It's good.
When I first got hired at the Palms, that thing was... Wasn't David Arquette in there?
David Arquette.
No, because I remember, as you know, when I was getting hired, I was constantly sitting in the food court waiting for interviews and training, and that trailer would play nonstop on the big screen out there.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that looks awful.
It was terrible.
It was a terrible
I can't believe that's... That's like the number one, huh?
That's so bad. It's good.
No,
guys.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying it's not a popularity thing.
No,
it has just been played the most.
Just downloads. Right?
Yeah, 3 a.m. Click it on. There it is. Apparently, Eight-Legged Freaks is on somewhere
all the
right
time.
Now.
Yeah. How many points do I get for that? For getting it right? Do I get any points? No trophy.
75 points.
No.
Oh, okay. As long as they hand me a tofu burger, we're good.
That's right. No, yeah. You're
lettuce wrapped.
That's right.
Of course, with the fake cheese.
So good job, Stephen King.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, actually.
Good luck, It.
Our friend Jose said it was really good.
Outstanding. Yeah. And I'm glad to see that they didn't fall into the, it's 3D, it's this and that. It's just a nice, good horror film.
Yeah.
So, now, here's something that I have not seen. We have one panelist, I think.
You don't have to watch it, trust me.
But I have to say that as brand management, if I turn on Netflix, it's there. Right in my face, every single time.
It's the hot spot.
It's the hot spot, along with
that the immortal Iron Fist.
Heads up, Netflix is lying to you. Netflix is lying to you.
So Death Note. Now, Sam.
Just watch the anime. That's all I got to do.
Watch the anime.
Now, give me some background on Death Note.
Yeah, what if we haven't watched the anime?
I got nothing. What is Death Note about?
Hang on. Do it. No, I was going to say the anime is way better because I only watched a snippet of the movie. He watched the whole movie. Yeah. Poor guy.
So am I the only one that actually saw the movie?
The movie, yes.
I saw him streaming with a little bitch.
All right, spoiler, it sucks. It's really bad.
Can we give it -5 stars?
Now, is the reason because of its content or is the reason Netflix?
The way I look at the film as a whole, if you're a fan of the anime or the source material in general, the way I am, I mean, it's a bastardization of what it is. It's not good. Ugh. It takes the characters and it just makes it something that it's not. If you have no history with it whatsoever, if you're going in there clean slate, know nothing about it, you're not attached in any sort of way, it can be entertaining. Once I got halfway through the movie and I realized this is not
what you thought it was going
to
be.
Well, okay. I mean, I knew it was going to be crap. I didn't expect it to be like, a direct translation of what the original story was. And once I realized it was just, taking its own creative liberties. Now, and they took the characters and made it its own thing. It was somewhat entertaining in a bad movie kind of sense.
Now, is this good versus evil? Is this human launched into supernatural? A bit of that
with human morality. Because, the original, the manga anime, it was basically... It involves Shinigamis, which are Demons. The gods of death, basically. Yeah. And it involves one character, Ryuk, which is the main one you see in the trailer, which is played by Willem Dafoe, who's actually one of the shining things about the film itself.
He's outstanding.
He's great.
Yeah. Gotta love him.
But yeah, he's basically a god of death who literally is bored. So he drops this thing called the Death Note on Earth, which is basically a book where you write a person's name in it and they will die of whatever causes they specify. Or if they don't specify, they'll die of a natural heart attack over the course of time. I forget exactly how much time, but that's what they die of.
Was it like 15 minutes?
Something like that. After a certain amount of time, they'll die naturally.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a kid named Light Yagami, who is just this brilliant, popular kid, who's now in high school.
Light Smith.
Yeah, some generic white red name. Yeah. it's not the same at all. But yeah, this kid comes across it, and, you know, his father's like an investigative agent. So he kind of just starts using it for good. And Ryuk is sort of there as an overseer. He's not really like kind of pushing his buttons. He's kind of like just whispering.
Kind of mentioning stuff. Yeah, you can write how they die in there.
And so eventually he becomes corrupted over time. And that's where you see the transition into villainy towards the end of the series. It's a great arc. It's a really, really amazing story.
And then there's a character named L that's trying to catch him throughout the whole series. Yeah. Like every episode they're trying to catch each other.
Because that's not confusing, L and Light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but just the way the anime series is written itself and the way it's shown, it's really good. The cat and mouse game. Like, just seeing them constantly at each other.
Yeah.
Now, from what I've heard, Light is supposed to be somewhat of a genius.
Yeah, he is.
Right? Yeah,
he's a fucking idiot in this movie.
And in the show, I saw the one scene of him actually meeting the Shinigami.
Screaming like a little girl.
He literally is like hiding under a desk. He doesn't know what to do. He's scared.
Pissed me off. Like the opening scene, like I saw him doing someone else's homework. I'm like, in the anime, he'd be insulted and just write his name to the Death Note.
And just the film in general is just full of just like stereotypical American tropes. Like it's all about in high school. Like by the end of it, it's like, oh, we got to deal with prom and all that stuff. And it's trying really hard. And it's also doing very much what's kind of like a trend in film nowadays where they're implementing a lot of just genre music, whether it be the 80s or whatnot, like how Guardians did it.
Yeah.
Even Suicide Squad kind of dabbled in.
Yeah, the opening slow-mo.
Horrible. It's just this constant, like just random songs sprinkled throughout that don't really kind of play into it. It's just trying too hard to kind of be...
To be a period thing.
Yeah, so it doesn't really work for me. And I don't know. The characters were just... Not at all. It was very
bastardized.
Yeah, it's very much like typical, just like high school kind of drama. The girl is like this weird sadist who gets off on the killings and all that. And it's just weird.
I'll be kind of nice by saying just stick to the anime and watch that on Netflix and go and skip the movie.
Yeah. Now, isn't there a Japanese live action movie as well?
There is.
There is.
Is that any good?
That one wasn't too bad. The graphics were kind of corny, but it wasn't too bad. Like it was closer than this American movie.
Yeah,
big time.
It kind of almost looks like a fan made film. Almost, it's kind of cheesy looking, but it's much more accurate. And you know, it does the story somewhat.
Well, in my opinion, when Hollywood gets a hold of an anime that's really like classic, and they always ruin it.
Mm. They will.
They always ruin it. So I had no expectations that this was going
to
be good.
No.
So we need to start. We have tomatoes. We have 1 to 5. We have all this kind of thing. We need to start our own.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, we'll make it very simple. Are we going to close the pod bay door on this and blow it out the airlock?
There you go.
Or are we going to let it come on
on board?
The base? Yeah.
No, this one's at the airlock.
The airlock.
Yeah. Airlock.
All right.
Push the button.
So pod bay door closed on Death Note. All right.
I like it.
Now, speaking of the airlock and blowing out, we're going to go back to Disney. There is a young lady who is in charge of the Star Wars personnel. Her name is Kathy, full name Kathleen. She was responsible for removing the directors of the Han Solo film. And, she has now put her stamp of disapproval on the director of the next Star Wars
episode 9.
Yes. He was unceremoniously blown out the airlock for replacement to be named later. Now, this is the young...
Front runners there being the directors of 7 and 8.
Okay, yeah. Excellent.
J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson.
Yeah. Now, everybody is claiming. They always love to say this. They you know, we're going to go a different direction. Creative differences. He had a different vision. When it comes right down to it, the director, of course, he was the director of Jurassic World, which was a blowout success.
Yeah.
And then he did
Book of Henry.
The Book of Henry, which was a complete opposite. It was a failure on every level.
Never heard of it.
He is as directors should be, which is what he said in response to this firing, I guess. They called him very confident, as a director should be. But apparently, his confidence went to a different level. He was
a little too confident.
Bombastic was the word that was used in the, and he's now gone. However, I think this does not bode well for. They're going to say they're protecting the brand. I'm going to say that they're tarnishing it by doing this again. Yeah. You know, especially if Abrams then jumps back on, because why not just have him on? Now I know he's a busy man.
Well, you know, he was disappointed after episode 7 that he actually didn't get to direct episode 8. So yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he was going to jump back on board.
Yeah.
That's probably something he's interested in, but. I agree. Cutting directors mid-movie or before it even starts, in this case, never looks good.
Mm-hmm. No.
So the end product is always going to be judged harsher.
Yes.
That's why Justice League is going to get torn to shreds, even though it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And that's why, the Han Solo movie, you never know how it's going to be received.
Well, plus the technicality part that the directors can still release their own version of Han Solo.
Yeah, their own director's cut.
Yeah.
I doubt that the mouse let him, but it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems to be a common thing to do now. It was just
right. And because the nerd nation and the fanboy nation and everybody involved with that, they are not only have become powerful, the machine that they run is a fickle beast. And I think you're right. I think if you play too many games with the heads of these films, you're starting already a couple points off.
In the hole. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. So yeah. I think they need to, stick with somebody. And if you want a name director, if you want a bankable Ron Howard, a bankable anybody, you need to just say, hey, Ron, come over and do this. Don't start with anybody new and then make a big deal that he's new, you know?
I think the problem there is they're trying to push these movies out so fast.
Yes.
That they're just signing names to it. Like,
like a cookie cutter formula?
Yes, exactly.
That's weird.
Interesting.
Exactly. I think we're just talking about that.
Yeah. Well, because when did they sign on this director? Like, they signed him on before they
pre-production.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, one thing that I was kind of wondering, like, do you think maybe he was kind of sticking to what was originally written for the scope of this story, where after the passing of Carrie Fisher, there obviously had to be a lot of rewrites. You think Disney was trying to modify the story
too much after the fact.
Anywhere, so they didn't, meet eye to eye anymore like he was trying.
I think he was tagged the minute Jurassic World hit big. Yeah. Henry came out. And they had second thoughts. I think it can be that simple.
Sure.
Which I think is just that's
fickle.
Yeah, because it was a passion project.
They should hire that one guy. What's his name? George Lucas or something? I heard he's pretty good.
He's on an island, dude. He's drinking Mai Tais. Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good at Star Wars. I mean, I think
was he
though?
I was just about to say that.
No, the
original. We don't talk about Jar Jar Binks.
So we can talk about political trading. Yeah,
no, George is too mean. He's too mean anymore, right? He's an old man.
Yeah, what do you mean mean?
He's
it builds
mean.
Character.
Oh,
it builds
no.
character.
The Bill Parcells of directors.
That great Jar Jar Binks character. That was awesome.
He's getting checks at the island. On the island.
That's
now.
Right. Yeah.
Which island?
Getting
lost?
Served by stormtroopers.
No. Yeah.
We already did a Lost reference.
Or Slave Leia's.
Another director. For a long time, the mystery of Mel Gibson was going to be involved in Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how real that was going to be, that was becoming. Well, that's not going to happen.
Oh, nope, Passion Squad.
Passion. You know what, though? He can do big films. And he can do war films, regardless.
Hacksaw Ridge wasn't that bad.
Hacksaw Ridge,
it was pretty good.
Yeah. You have to, as an artist, you have to give him credit, or any of these directors, you have to give them credit because these are huge undertakings.
Oh yeah.
And especially a war film, that is very difficult. And now superhero war films. I mean, when you're trying to deal with Jatari that don't exist, and you have no background from it, it's huge. And would he have done good with Suicide Squad? God, you know, as a director, being able to assimilate all of that information, absolutely, he would have been a superstar. Now, being an old man, I don't know. I don't know,
you know
if
how
he
well
had,
connected he is.
If he
that.
Has a bridge to that subject, so I, you know, and I know nothing about the new director Gavin O'Connor, other than his previous success,
The Accountant.
The Accountant.
Yes.
Ben Affleck being a difficult subject to work with, apparently. Yeah. So he did agree. He did a great job. I don't know if you guys liked the film. I liked the film.
I haven't seen it.
I
heard good
liked
things.
It.
Didn't
it
he do
good.
Warrior also? I think with Tom Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Right, and Nick Nolte, excellent.
Yeah,
film.
Yeah, that was
love
great.
That.
Yeah, he
yeah,
Warrior.
Love that.
Warrior was good.
Yeah,
the con was really, really good. I like the way it was written, the way it was done. I like the detail of the OCD for Ben Affleck. Like, it was pretty crazy.
Yes,
how it went to detail.
Absolutely, and the Warrior, the Warrior was fantastic, and a successful film, sort of an underground level, and very difficult subject because MMA, quite honestly, to me, is a very lame subject. It's just
how do you spice it up?
It's campy. It's silly. I mean,
close your ears, Joe Rogan. Don't listen to this guy. Joe Rogan.
You
close your ears.
To me, MMA, you just have a couple of cameos of Vince McMahon, and you're done. You know, it's a ridiculous
that's
subject.
WCW.
Yeah, I know that. You know, that's what MMA is to me.
I
it's like
you. Just another wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, Chuck Liddell, really? I mean, are we really buying him as a character? I mean, he's a great fighter, but
he was a great character.
Yeah, he's a great character. No. You know,
a good fighter. I don't know.
Yeah, put him. He could be in Suicide Squad. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget, Kurt Angle was in this movie too. He was in Warrior.
Oh, that's right.
Kurt Angle.
Was
and so, that's amazing. Now this is the one that I'm very curious about, guys, because you're DC fans to the core, and like Adam said, he thinks Justice League is going to be good.
It's going to be good, dude.
That's
right.
It's
gonna
be
that's good. Right. Yeah. Well, it'll be good.
It'll be good to us, but not to the masses, probably.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, it's kind of like Dallas Cowboys, I think.
Yeah, I don't care either.
See, exactly. Don't care. Who cares what people
say?
Just enjoy
the Justice League and the Cowboys Super Bowl this year.
So just to set the scene, you know, we have Gotham, we have the cloudy, dark skies that everybody likes to create,
right.
And then through you see two shadows, and it's Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Call bullshit.
Yeah, and you hear a screeching car driving away from the city, which is Jared Leto.
That's right.
So what do you guys think? Do you agree with Jared? Should he be pissed?
I think it's all rumor mill right now, honestly. Just
for sure.
It's another TMZ topic.
But it's definitely been seriously discussed. I think Scorsese is actually one of the ones who actually pitched the idea of
absolutely.
Joker origin story where they want Leo. I don't think Leo's going to be involved. Leo's not going to do it, honestly.
He'll probably produce it.
Well, no.
He'll throw some money to it.
I think the company just really wants a big name like Leo, but a guy like Leo doesn't give two shits about a film like this, to be perfectly honest with you. I think I've read that he's actually gotten multiple offers to be in superhero films, but he turns them down. It's just not for him. You know, so
he likes
not
the more award worthy.
Yeah, I mean, he takes his roles very seriously. I mean, think about every film you see Leo in; they're very seriously well done movies. You know, he's not. I'm not saying that this couldn't be a good movie, but who's asking for this? First of all, I mean, you know, Scorsese just kind of pitched this idea, and to me, that takes away, from the Joker, giving him an origin. The Joker is a character he's better not knowing his background. I mean, I'm okay with the Killing Joke. I think that's a great story. It gave him some background, and the original, you know. Tim Burton Batman, but we don't need another origin story.
Yeah,
for
part of what
like
makes
this.
Joker, you know, great is the mysterious background. And
he's crazy.
And you don't know how he got that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think recently with some of the newer comics, they've
tried to
give
him
a real name.
They said there's multiple Jokers.
Yeah, there's multiple
Jokers
in the universe. Yeah.
Well, I think what has happened. I think you're absolutely right. There's a mystique to Joker that maybe shouldn't be detailed. On the other side of it, the reality of Hollywood, I think Scorsese wants to do this. And when he wants to do something, that's it. It's done. Mm-hmm. And DiCaprio is his man. And that's perfect because they're both brilliant
together.
Men.
What about Jonah Hill?
And they're brilliant together.
Jonah Hill, his guy.
And the problem is, and I think the only argument I have to you, Chris, is the reality of Hollywood is that Heath Ledger set a bar. Leto missed it. And I think DiCaprio wants it. And I think he wants to do it. I think the Joker is a character that I think he either wants to hit the same height that Ledger did and be able to say, okay, I got this, or he wants to beat
top him.
Now, I think you're right. I think the fact that he really doesn't necessarily, as an artist, want to be a part of a franchise, I think that's true. I think this will be a one-off, but I think there's a bar been set that Leto missed that somebody wants to get, and I think DiCaprio can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But You know, if you saw The Revenant, he absolutely has the chops to do it, clearly. He's not a young man either anymore. He's not baby. He's not on the Titanic anymore. he's getting to look like who am I thinking
of? Jack Nicholson?
No.
It would work if he was Joker.
Well, he looks like Errol Flynn. If anybody knows my mother will know. She's listening right now. Errol Flynn was a huge star back in the in old Hollywood. He was a all the time with him. But Rhett Butler, why can't I think of his name? In Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah, it's before our time.
I know exactly.
Clark Gable. Yeah, and I don't know if he has the background and the passion for comics that he needs. I don't know if Heath Ledger did, but Heath Ledger nailed it and nobody else has nailed it since. So we'll see.
I think it's also extremely confusing, you know, from a general audience perspective that all of a sudden there's going to be a different Joker.
Again.
And then still Jared Leto is tapped to play Joker still down the road. So you're going to have this Joker origin story with a completely different actor that has nothing to do with this DCEU that's going on currently right now.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, once that film's done, here comes Jared Leto again, you know, continuing what's happening. So I think for guys like us, we get what it is. That's not a problem. But the general audience is going to be like, what?
Just wait a little.
It's just confusing, honestly, if you ask me. But
this should keep it consistent.
Yeah.
When I saw Scorsese mention the article writer who was not of any note, it made mention that Scorsese will now give credence and credibility to DC, where it thus far has had none. Now that was a controversial Scorsese statement to the nation.
He's a great director, but
Whedon's already on the case. Like, he's already on the case, saving the day, supposedly. Well,
to mention Wonder Woman just happened, and Patty Jenkins did an amazing job with that.
She signed on for the
second. She gave him plenty of credentials right now.
Who wrote the article? Oh, challenge him to arm wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know. It was probably a millennial. It was probably a millennial.
So they wrote the article off their phone. They didn't really actually type it in.
A citizen journalist.
Your favorite kind.
That's right. A blogger.
Maybe it's a vlogger too.
A vlogger, yes. You know what? More power to them. If they're making money, great. Moving on to the last one in our Scene Stealers. 2019... Do I give a rat's ass about Game of Thrones waiting 2 years? Is anybody going to care in 2019?
I will.
I will.
I certainly will.
Now, here's a big question.
It's a long time for the 6 episodes.
Here's what I did to not get ready. That sounds strange. But to get ready for this season, I watched the entire thing.
Right.
Will you guys do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Sometime in 2019.
I mean, I got 2 years. Yeah. I'll probably watch it once or twice. I tend to throw a party.
Yeah. I tend to do that, honestly, before every season. I kind of go back. Not every season, because that's a lot to take in. But like, I try to watch at least some of the better parts. And also, it's one of those shows that makes more sense when you rewatch it after you've progressed in the story. Sure. Because
Getting all those subtle hints and some of the plants.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of like grasp how much they're discussing, because it's a lot of like no knowledge to them, but as an audience you don't know what the hell they're actually talking about. So once things are revealed, you go back like, they really were kind of talking about that beforehand. There's so much more details and foreshadowing that you never realize until you go back and rewatch it again. I think it's definitely one of those shows that's absolutely worth rewatching multiple times over. You know,
I agree.
Now, I asked Adam this and his answer was interesting. Chris, I'll ask you. Obviously, the book series is over as it regards the show, and they're writing it new as the show is coming out. When it's all said and done in 2019, when the show is over, when you've watched, when you've had your parties and your Game of Thrones watching parties and so on and so forth, are you going to read the book?
Oh, I've already read 3 of the books. I'm on the 4th one right now.
Okay.
I think they're absolutely worth reading. Yeah, I mean, they're great. I mean, it's one of those, if you enjoy at least what's on the surface of the show, when they discuss the lore, the book is that and so much more.
Okay.
And he still has 2 more books to release, The Winds of Winter, which has been in limbo for how many years now, and then A Dream of Summer, I think, is the last book that's supposed to come out in the next 30 years. So, I'm absolutely going to continue to read them. And then he's also doing spinoff books, too. I think there's one that's going to be based on the Targaryen dynasty. If you're that much into the series, which I am, I really enjoy reading the lore. Like, some people have Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever. Like, I enjoy like the lore of Game of Thrones. I think there's a lot to take in, and I find it extremely entertaining.
Okay. Now, Game of Thrones, obviously, on the other side of it, you know, from the beginning of our conversation during this show, Game of Thrones is 100% committed to adult content.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
oh,
there's gore and nudity and, good Lord, incest.
A lot of drinking.
I mean, there. It's literally a show based on Vice.
It's not a show to watch with your mom. I'll tell you that.
No, absolutely not. Lots of shows nowadays I wouldn't watch with mom. I couldn't do it. But do you think that if between now and 2019 you see the Variety announcement Disney buys Game of Thrones, will you be devastated?
Everyone would.
I don't think it'll happen, but
it
would not be.
It would
what
never
it
happen.
Is. Yeah, it would never happen, but it would not be what it is.
It wouldn't
There's
be the same.
Absolutely no way.
So it's a completely opposite. You think it actually makes sense and is a better show for concentrating on the vices of these characters, regardless of
in
what.
This
well,
show,
because
I
in this
so.
Show, their vices are downfall a lot of times. Yeah. It's their weakness. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know anybody that doesn't? And Adam aside. Because I know he does. Do you know anybody that doesn't watch the show because of the controversial content?
Oh, for the controversial
for the violence or the the sexuality or the
The people that I know that
some people just don't like fantasy.
They just haven't gotten into it or they haven't given it the chance. But I don't know of anybody that refuses to watch it just because it discusses incest or whatever. To me, like people just. Whatever.
It's now, does your wife?
It's a TV
watch?
Show.
Oh yeah, she absolutely watches.
She watches it.
She loves it. Okay.
Her predictions came out pretty good.
Yeah, she called some things pretty spot on.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. She was good.
No, she's a huge fan too.
All right. Well, since we talk about movies and you guys are specifically have backgrounds in movies and movie theaters, I thought we'd make the Gear Grinders today a little bit.
I had one quick question.
Yeah.
Ken, I'd give a quick shout out to Destiny 2. It's a game that just released this week. It was freaking amazing.
Yeah.
I just want to let everybody know that if they like, first-person shooters and to play with your friends, this is one of the best games by Bungie.
Yeah.
Like, it really makes up for Destiny 1. The first game, it was good, but it wasn't finished. It was missing certain things, wouldn't you say, Chris?
Yeah, this is definitely what the first game should have been, and then so much more.
And it was very repetitive and vanilla.
Yeah, this is much more entertaining. It's much more accessible to general gamers if you want to get into it. I think Sam wants to recruit people, so leave your name in the comments, and we'll
we gotta go raiding pretty soon.
PlayStation 4 only.
Yes, PS4.
Well, and this is also tempered by the fact that Sam was a fan of Red Dead Redemption. So, I mean, we got to knock it off his opinion about 50%.
Listen, calm down. Just because you can't find a lecturer, it's not my fault. Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't knock down Red Dead Redemption.
So, as long as I'm not riding a horse for 20 minutes in the beginning of Destiny 2, then I'll probably like it.
Well, Destiny 2, you'll be walking around for a little bit because you don't have what's it called?
They'll get to it. Spoilers.
Well, he's not patient enough to play.
No, I want to. It turns on. Sign in. Tell EA Sports that I don't want to be part of their network, and then start shooting. That's what I want. There you go.
Boobs and explosions.
Boobs and explosions.
Too much storyline.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody knows me. Boobs and explosions. Yeah. So Chris. You have a background with movie theaters and enjoying movies, as does the panel. Me not so much, as I've said. Unfortunately, most of and it's funny. I have to bring this up. Obviously from my I wouldn't call them controversial, but my statements about last week. People said you're sounding a little racisty. And here's why. I don't like people. I don't care what color you are.
Right.
This is
the general thing.
We got a whole bunch of colors in front of me right here, and
like any of us.
I don't like any of you.
What do you mean colored? What do you mean by that comment?
Persons of color. The problem is I don't like anybody. Assholes come in all colors, and that's the answer to the one guy that said I was a racist.
Yeah, what a dick.
I'm sorry. I don't like people and they ruin things for me, but what is your biggest complaint about watching a movie?
In
a theater specifically.
Get off your fucking phone.
Yeah, that'd probably be the number one thing.
And not at a luxury theater. I mean, everybody across the country has one where you can eat and sit in
bark lounges.
No, it's
every
lounges.
Theater.
Yeah.
I got something on that too.
Stop fucking Snapchatting. Stop fucking recording. Stop fucking FaceTiming. You're watching a fucking movie. Sorry for the cussing, but I'm just really
That's
pissed.
Right. That's right.
I just
so think box. You know my mom's listening to this, Sam. Come on.
Freaking? Get off the freaking phone? There you go. I'll alter it. But then there's people sitting there like, with the brights on and just full on texting.
Like conversations.
Like these guys seen it. I'll yell, get off your phone. Yeah. Like, I don't give a shit.
Now, is that specifically, I honest to God haven't, I've been, last movie I can remember, Adam and his family forced me to go see one of the Captain Americas. and I did see someone pull out their phone and I saw the light, but they quickly, you know, diffused it. Yeah. And it was an older individual. Now, do you, in your experience, do you guys see, do we blame the millennials and below?
I think all ages now.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get like, with me, you get like 7 seconds. It's like a time bomb. You get 7 seconds to yell at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously, I almost got in a fight probably, it was probably a year ago now, was when Fury came out. My friend George and his dad and I went to see Fury at South Point, and this guy in the robe right next to us had his phone out probably half a dozen times in the movie. And toward the end of the movie, finally, George's dad's had enough, right? You know, can you put your phone away, please? And the dude and his girlfriend just got all uppity as shit. And yeah, George and I always had to throw down right there in the movie theater over our fucking cell phone.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know, dude, like, you just find time so much money. Like, just go watch the movie, enjoy the freaking movie.
Right.
Well, that's just disrespectful and to the audience else in general.
Who's paid, you know?
Yeah, it's like we paid it's not just your time to here, watch the movie. Yeah, and you're here to watch a movie. You don't want to watch it. Go fucking stream it at home. You know,
that's right.
You know, stay away from the fucking audience. So you're going to distract us. You know, we all came here for the experience, so if you don't care for it, get the hell out.
You think that people that go to movies nowadays, you know, would go in there with a frame of mind, like, I'm here to see a movie because of the experience, you know?
Yeah,
like
I want to enjoy it.
Yeah, right. Like, why would you even bring a phone?
And it's interesting that with all nowadays, the generations today, that we're joiners. We don't want to be with anybody, but we're going to join on Twitter, and we're going to join, you know, Black Lives Matter and fat shaming, and we join all these groups, and there isn't a group, you know, about cell phones and movies. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, because apparently they're joining the groups while watching a movie. Yeah. I don't know. But now, here's a tougher question. What's number two?
I think talking out loud, you know, conversating, like it's like, you know,
old school.
Yeah. Well, cause like I've gone to movies with some people where they're just like, or like, you know, they turn to me like, hey, so you talked to this guy in a while? I'm like, seriously, dude? Like we're like watching the movie right now. And it's not even like a whisper voice, just like full on. So yeah. So when's the last time you saw him? I'm like, you know, maybe a week ago, like, you know, movie.
Yeah.
Watch the movie, please.
Yeah.
It's really
we'll
good.
Talk about this later.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff like that just kind of annoys me. And yeah, just general distractions, you know, just
babies crying.
Like
that's my number two. Oh, I was gonna say that's my number two is babies.
I forgot that.
Babies. Wow. Leave babies in film still.
Oh yeah. All the time.
There's been multiple times where like I wanted to go watch Deadpool a couple times with my friends and for like say
babies to Deadpool.
3 out of 4
they had don't babies allow them in there, do they?
Oh yeah.
People they bring have an them adult, in. Yeah. They can
here's the thing. At the movie theater, the manager's job, it's a firmly say, hey, you know, no kids are allowed in rated R films, but the parents do have the open right to bring in a baby. So when parents do bring in babies, and a lot of times these were like millennials bringing their babies, it's like, dude, don't you know the etiquette? Like, don't bring babies to the movie.
Right.
And they don't even care. They let the kid cry. It's like, really, dude?
Yeah.
Apparently, you don't know how to be a parent because you don't know how to take the baby out.
I like when they'll take the baby to like
The corner
instead of
you
out,
still hear it?
Yeah.
You're like, come on.
Like,
you
just like hid yourself from the audience, but you're still still hear you.
We still know who you are because you're going to walk in with that screaming machine.
Yeah.
I don't have anything against babies, just not the movies.
Well, no. And usually it's the mother, instead of like Adam said, walking out of the theater, they're standing under the one light that's still on.
Yes. Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know.
Might as well bring yourself a bucket of popcorn and drink too and just stand there.
Now, you guys are going to go see It, obviously. I don't know if you're all going to go together, but you're going to go see It, either individually or as a group. And they're you know, obviously, there's a phenomenon with horror films. And I'm going to say that it is stereotypically a part of a specific race that tends to relive or live with the film as it's going on, telling them not to go through that door, and so on and so forth. Is that something that bothers you, or do you consider that part of your movie watching experience?
I don't mind people reacting, like, you know, the screams and all that. That's kind of part of the fun of seeing a scary movie in the theaters, like people reaction, you know, to the actual, you know, scares and whatnot. But those who are talking
but to like verbally like, comment, yeah,
that's no, just like. That's just.
Now, I'm not talking full-on Rocky horror. They're not dancing in the screen.
Oh no, but
yeah. they're telling the individuals what to do.
Yeah,
on
those
the
like don't go in there like the stuff like that. I can't believe that still exists. You know,
I don't think that's necessarily a race. I think that's like just everybody nowadays. Like everyone talks.
But why?
Yeah, people just suck as a species, not just for the race.
I'm saying.
Can't argue there.
It's a lot of people that do that, and it's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, you guys remember when they released The Ring at Bryn Theatres? And had to work security and like walk through and make sure no one's underage watching it. And had to kick out all the people that kept talking. It's like, it was so many people that weekend. I'm like, guys, just watch the damn movie. Just
they were there to kind of hang out with their friends.
A lot of times it's the teenagers that kind of ruin the scary movies because they're the ones being overly animated and just being, you know, ridiculous commentary.
Didn't one of our friends got the ending ruined for Get Out? One of our friends on the group text was saying that they went to go watch Get Out and some fucking teen ran in there to yell out the ending. And then ran out.
Nice.
That's such a dick move.
Yeah, right?
Two more needs to be banned. Two more I'll mention, one of which is never going to happen because movie theaters are driven, obviously, by a bucket of popcorn costs them 12 cents and they charge us $17. But that'll never happen. But the eating in my ear, that's why I don't want, if I ever go to a film.
Loud crunch.
Yeah, I sit in the back. I want no one behind me. That's where I sit. Yeah. Adam knows. I go right to the back. Yeah. I don't care. I don't want anybody behind me. Have you ever been in a movie and do you enjoy hearing the movie explained to an individual behind you that doesn't get it?
Or they like just came back from the bathroom.
Now I've also been in a film where the older couple, the man was hard of hearing and he didn't get it. He didn't hear it. And so she was, you know, basically retelling the film and it was like an awkward echo, you know, the film would go on and she would explain it. So is that a big deal to you? Is that happen much?
That hasn't happened much, but it would probably annoy the crap out of me. They have headphones specifically for the hearing impaired.
What about translating when there are certain families have to go in there, watch it, and then
I don't know nothing about that. I'd be pissed off.
Yeah.
It happened to me a few times where like there's like family and they had to translate the movie because like either the parent didn't speak the same language or didn't understand what's going on, so they had to translate the movie, and I was like,
In my opinion, we'll bring it back to what we talked about, the algorithm from the dark net. I think they were rather short-sighted. You know, I think that, having it ping gay people is really not the problem or helpful. I think we need to be able for this algorithm to ping the assholes.
The crazy people.
The crazies.
Yeah, tell me you can 91% pick out the murderer maybe that's different.
Pick out the crazy guy.
But then
we
go back to pre-crime, you start picking out people just based on what you think they're going to do or what you think their face looks like how far do you take it?
Nope. When you buy your movie pass, Adam was talking about the new movie pass. When you buy your movie pass, stick your eye up here. It'll swipe by. It'll tell what kind of movie watcher you are.
That's right.
And say you're restricted to this area and this film, and you're going to be an idiot and you're not allowed to go down there.
There you go. Yeah. We make a theater where there's... like, you know, they have like smoking and non smoking section. So there's talking and
really?
Baby
Where's
section.
That?
No. I'm saying like we build a theater where there's like a section where it's for like people that talk and have babies and then the quiet folks. Yeah. So you go into the same theater, just there's a barrier where it just like separates you like a little like what's
segregation.
Hell yeah, dude. To all the talkers and all the people bringing babies and textures, you go sit on that side.
No, you don't get a special section. You get the fuck out.
Yeah, wasn't AMC going to implement this like one practice where they would actually allow like cell phones in a theater?
What?
There was one company. It might have been AMC or somebody else, but a couple years back, they threw out this idea that they would allow cell phones because they're like the CEO was explaining. They're like, oh yeah, well you can't ask a teenager nowadays to be separated from their cell phone, so we're just going to allow them. Like, no, so you're basically just rewarding bad behavior, you're basically just enabling them to continue, doing shit like this
and being a dick.
Yeah, eventually, it never. Mm-hmm. Went through because there was a lot of backlash, thank God, it's just like ridiculous. It's a place you go to for an experience. It's not to enable your bad behavior.
Let me tell you this. My friend Randy, who's been on the show before, she general manager at the showcase at the Strip.
Yeah.
She told me recently they're going to close down that property at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And what they're doing now is they're building a theater that's going to be a combination restaurant, bar, theater. So as you sit in the theater, you're going to have a legitimate table just like this in front of you.
Right.
Because
you're
going
to have waiters that you're going to have, write down your order and you give it to you, basically a server, right?
Too much.
Yeah. So super next step level high class. We'll see if that works. If you were going to bring people in, I guess you got to offer them more than what you're giving them now.
Isn't that how the Eclipse set up downtown, the Eclipse Theater?
I think there's one now. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I think that's the one, the luxury one, where it's like there's a whole staff and like a whole like
Yeah, and she said there's going to be all kinds of, you know, bar foods, like legitimate.
So
like,
she has to manage more stuff.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Well, see, the thing is, and this summer is a perfect example. It was a devastating summer for ticket sales.
Oh, it was.
And it was terrible. Oh, yeah.
I want to say like 2 or 3 weeks back, it was the lowest sales ever.
And they called it the summer of bad sequels, or they had a tag phrase for it.
I think it was franchise fatigue.
Franchise fatigue, that's there it right go. There.
More points for this guy.
That's right. That's right. But more and more, as people are not caring about films, they're going to have to make them care about something. And obviously, from what you just said, they're going to care about drinking and eating.
Yeah, the experience, I guess.
And I saw Chris's face, and Chris's face is exactly how I feel about it. I will never go see a film again.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I will. You know, and
what's the point?
Yeah. Like, what's the point of going to the movie theater if you're going for everything but the movie itself,
right?
You know, like the point of, you know, going to the movies, experience the movie, and then you go out to eat, and then you discuss what you just saw. Yeah, like, what's the point of just, what's the hurry? You know, like, why do you need all this?
Cram it all together.
Distracting
for the gear grinder about movie theaters.
Yes,
the one sound I do kind of enjoy. Yes. I don't condone it. I do kind of frown upon it, but the one sound I do enjoy hearing is when you hear the folks pop the beer bottles or beer cans. I kind of laugh inside a little bit. I'm like, I know what kind of movie you're going to watch.
No, see, the one, now I have experience with this. The one I like is a little bit further. The guy pops the beer bottle, drinks the beer, and then you hear the beer bottle go all the way down to the front and people applaud. I love that. That I like. Yeah. I don't mind that. Now here in Las Vegas, I don't know if it's true in other markets, other states, but here in Las Vegas, we have a chain of theaters that were affiliated with the casinos, station casinos, and we had private booths that we were able to use. I was very lucky to use those. However, and that was great for the general audience getting rid of those because they were soundproof private booths. The problem is the sound wasn't as good as in the theater.
Totally.
But the interesting thing about it is you then found out who in your group was that asshole?
The guy?
Yes.
Now he's talking in an confined location. Yeah. So
between 10 people, you know, the loud guy, the cell phone guy.
But I do enjoy the booth because I can talk shit to a general audience. Like, sit down, get off your fucking phone. Like, they can't hear me, but I can still talk shit to them.
Yeah, you could. I mean, if you found out Chris was that guy, you could tell him right there, and nobody else would know. But
you can tell him, all right, you're back down with a general audience. Right.
But see, we're lucky because the private booth we go to has a Bose sound system. So it sounds nice.
It's good, but it's not the same as
not
the
full. Yeah, it's not the same as the theater. So yeah.
It's like a home theater in itself, you know, maybe 10 seats.
But
or so.
I would trade that for the luxury seats because the luxury seats are pretty nice there. Mm-hmm. Not bad at all.
You know, I like theaters nowadays that I've been to one. Where you, back in the old days, it used to be THX rated, which actually had nothing to do with this. It had to do with the sound. It had to do with the structure, not necessarily the sound, the structure of the theater itself. It was a measurement process.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's a combination with both DTS:X and Dolby Atmos. Atmos is fantastic. I mean, that's a tech that I think has made, it's one thing that would make me actually still go see a film, which, like Adam said, is almost impossible to have in a tiny little booth.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're thanks, guys. That was great. I haven't talked about movies in a very long time. Area 52, I decided to do an old and new. There is a place in Las Vegas called City Center. It was ill-fated from the beginning. It's still there. It's okay. It's high-end for as many people that come to Las Vegas that are actually shopping high-end. I mean, you can get a Tom Ford suit and expensive jewelry from Cartier and things of that nature and have some great meals. But it was a tough bet back in the day because it happened right at the crash. There's a whole story about the MGM. They were within... hours of going bankrupt because of this if they did not get a loan for City Center.
Yeah.
They have the distinction of having a hotel that was built, never stayed in, and then I'll use the word demolished, but it's a very different story, called the Harmon Tower. Harmon Tower was built. It was not completed by any means, but it was not the shells that you see around Vegas nowadays like the Fontainebleau. But the Harmon Tower was...
Infam Blue get sold this week?
It just got sold again.
Yeah. Crazy.
We'll see if they're actually...
Yeah, Adam, they sold an unfinished property. Like, sure. It's sitting there. Yeah. Someone actually bought it.
We'll see if they develop it. I doubt it. I think it's going to be a paper transfer. But the Harmon Tower was built straight up, and then they realized, I think about... just as they topped it off, that individual that was the concrete and rebar used questionable materials.
Nice.
Dangerous materials. Geez. Where it would actually be fall over. Yeah, fall over. And it really was doomed from the start. It was going to be a high-end complex. It was going to be condominiums and gaming and so on and so forth. And it didn't work. Well, it was backed by the MGM International Corporation, and it failed. It became a safety hazard. The city said no, and you have to deal with it. Well, obviously they can't remove it and rebuild it, and because it would be a loss.
Can't too much of a problem, man.
But the most interesting thing about this is that the Harmon Tower was its distinction is, whereas most of our hotels we celebrate the destruction, the dunes, the sands, and we there's whole videos on how these things are imploded, and it's amazing how they do it. They couldn't do that this time. They literally had to deconstruct it from the top all the way down to the foundation. Now, the even more interesting part about that, and it's done, it's gone. The most interesting part about it is they sold every part of it except the bad rebar.
What, as they breaking it down?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as easy as eBay. It's not, you know, but I mean, they literally would take it apart and sell it to defray the costs.
Yeah.
So a hotel existed in Las Vegas that was never stayed in, that built and then left,
taken down
destroyed.
Piece by piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun fact about the city center, when I saw the blueprints and the setup originally, originally putting a fire department and also EMT station. They're actually going to put it in there. So
very nice.
Every time I hear a city center, I think of Raccoon City. Because it's just like a little disaster waiting to happen constantly. Because I knew someone that worked there, and they showed me the blueprints. And I was like, what the heck? Like, are you guys ready for a zombie outbreak in the city center?
Just in case.
Sam, you know, this show alone, every movie either starts or ends up in Vegas.
Yeah. That's right.
Every movie. It's required.
It's by law.
That's right. Well, the new part, that was the old part, the new part of Vegas, and as Adam mentioned it earlier in the show, Vegas has debuted at the MGM Grand at the Level Up Gaming Lounge, sponsored by Zero Latency. It is the first free roam virtual reality arena. I said area, but it's arena. And they have, it's going to be a team-based process where you go, and there's drinking, of course.
Oh, of course.
Virtual reality and drink and whiskey go along real well. It's a team-based esports situation, and they're going to have three different play modes. Zombie survival, speaking of zombies. Yes, singularity, nice. Which means that there is a happening in town, much like Raccoon City. A virus has broken out, or like pandemic, you know, you're trying to save the people.
Great.
And then there's Engineerium, which is there is a large section that is being built that is something brand new, that and I looked more into this. It's being attacked by an alien force.
Are we talking about like space aliens or illegal aliens? That's
either one.
Oh, okay.
Either one.
I just want to make sure. Depends on if, you know. PC.
That's right.
Okay.
They have Chipotle outfits on and they're going to come in. this whole situation first debuted in Australia. I don't know much about that. But the first thing that came to mind, and I still am thinking it, and I want your help, esports fans sitting at the table here. How are you not going to be hurting yourself? I could not find a reference to Wranglers, meaning that are there going to be, much like paintball, are there going to be people around there helping somebody not fall?
From what I saw, it's actually pretty legit. If you've ever been to like a laser tag arena or place that, you know, you always have like the ref that shows you the rules and he kind of sets you up.
Yeah.
They'll have those. It's pretty much just an open, what looks like a holodeck almost, which is pretty legit. Just a large open space where you have enough room to walk around each other and, obviously fight zombies and whatnot. The gear looks, you have a vest on.
So you want us to interact, but yet we interact less with each other. So we're acting together.
Well, you're in a group. You're tag team in this thing, right? Yeah. And you're in the same room. You can obviously, I guess, see each other in VR, right? So you're not going to be running into each other, hopefully. But there are walls, you know, so you're going to, you can't like, you know, it's free move, but you can still run
sounds like
stuff.
An HR nightmare. Sounds like an insurance issue.
The facility is referred to as a 2,000 square foot facility. They didn't delineate exactly, you know, like where the bar is, because obviously there's a bar. And so I don't know if it's all 2,000 square feet. But and then they also didn't say if they're going to have simultaneous, you know, zombie
like
survival.
Multiple rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
So this isn't open up yet, right? Or is it already open?
I think it opened Friday.
It opened Friday.
Yeah. Huh?
So does that mean eventually we have to do a field report?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll do the field report if Jamie comes with us. That means he has to be out in public.
You shoot some zombies there, right?
And he'll see right. Some other people that can annoy the crap out of him. We'd be like, okay, we're done with the field report. We're done. We're done.
I do. Only if we go in a private group.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, there was talk in the article that I read about its connection. You can actually, this room will connect to Australia's and so on and so forth. And you can actually, you know, be a team based like you are on a standard gaming
console.
Sure,
with another player
which,
and another.
Yeah, they lost me on that one because there's going to be some shithead little kid who has all the mods and add-ons. Screw that.
Played this 17,000 times.
Listen,
he knows where
all
the zombies coming from.
We insult the little kid by letting him know that we don't have a bedtime curfew.
That's right.
He does.
Yeah, I'll fly to Australia and squeeze his head.
Get out of my holodeck, kid.
That's Hit him right. in the kiwis.
But I will definitely go because of one thing. I want to experience the VR. I've mentioned the fact that Magic Mountain is going to have a VR version of the Lex Luthor Drop of Doom.
Gotcha.
And I think that would be an amazing experience, you know, being half reality, half VR, you know.
See, yeah. I wonder if the VR headset's gonna, like, fit over my glasses, because I need my glasses. But then again, I do get motion.
I'm sure they have something for people with glasses, I would assume.
They must.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. They must.
But then here's this other side of me where it comes out. The germaphobe side, like, did they wipe it? Is it all sanitized before you use it?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
People are in there, you know, sweating their
asses off, running around
killing zombies.
I don't want someone's shortiness all over my face.
Yeah, that's a pink eye.
Shorty. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I actually thought about that on my recent trip. It was funny. I had never thought about that, but I thought about that on my recent trip to Universal Studios.
Ooh. What caused you to think about it?
The person in front of me.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
The person in front of me.
Yeah, like, I don't want whatever that guy's
Yeah, they were... If you're familiar with the term disheveled, they were sort of an unkempt, disheveled individual. I was not getting his glasses, but I was thinking...
No, but you thought about it.
Hey,
who else got
10
it?
People in front of me, am I getting that dude's glasses? And where's he been? Yeah. And what has his girlfriend been doing? And, you know, come on.
Was his date of birth, blood type, social security? I need
to
check his background.
Right. Did he go through the gaydar? I mean, I need to know that.
That's right. Exactly. You know. Exactly.
I will definitely go. If we go, I will go. I'd like to do it as a group. I don't think we'll have... you guys will have to call a whole bunch of friends. I'll get my... Julie and John, I think they'll go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? But we need to find out what is a team. Right. I mean, what constitutes a team? I mean, if it's five people, if it's 10 people. I just... Honest to God, I need to know. I mean, I want to... And what a great... What a strange... A job that would be, you know, I mean, what do you do? I make sure people don't fall down in the VR arena.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what an odd thing that we progressed.
I'll bet you the person that had the most practice would be the person that wrangled all the Wii players. They went to play the Wii. Right, you're like, oh, I had a lot of practice. My resume is that my family plays the Wii. I'd always wrangle them in, make sure you don't get hurt.
Yeah.
Okay, you're hired. Yeah. You're hired right away.
Now I also saw that they beefed up the bar. Because everybody wants to pretend to be healthy, and they're going to have protein whiskey and vodka and all of Chris's favorites.
With the option of protein,
but
shakes.
Yeah, with protein shakes and Soylent. Are you guys familiar with the Soylent movement?
They're actually bringing out the product Soylent out here.
Yes,
that's crazy.
And what's funny because
Soylent Green,
Soylent Green is people, nobody knows that reference. Thank you, Adam.
I got it.
I'm very impressed because usually I lose guys a decade away from me. Charlton Heston, great film. Have you seen the film?
I have not
seen
it.
Soylent Green,
Soylent
Green is people.
Yeah.
They would grind up all of our elderly and
feed
them
to
each other. And so they've come out with Soylent. So they're going to be sponsoring Soylent.
Is that what it is? What
it's
is that product?
Soylent. Soylent is It's a whole, well, it's a molecular situation.
It's plant-based.
And it's,
I'll be sure.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Yes. It's, I don't know much about it. I can't speak on that. I will find out for the next, next show.
It came out of Silicon Valley.
Yes.
This guy, the creative guy's name, he came up with the idea of, you know, he doesn't want to eat, but he does want to keep working and need fuel and energy.
Mm-hmm.
So he came up with Soylent. It's a plant-based, it's broken down to like metabolical components to where there's protein, there's energy,
like space stabilizer. Food. Yeah, for people that don't want to eat, but still need like the calories, right?
A watery, milky form.
Yeah.
And there's been a few documentaries where folks actually did it for 30 days and they lost weight, they gained energy, but sometimes at the time, the factory that made the Soylent product itself, the powder, it wasn't up to code. So sometimes when they receive their Soylent, either in drink form or powder form,
that's right,
it came with mold.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So some guys did pretty well. Some guys did
got
pretty
sick
bad.
On it, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah, some guys get sick on it. And one of the guys that tried it lived in New York, and he felt so weird because like sometimes the powder didn't mix all the way because the company was still in its infant stages.
Yeah.
And he'd bring his drink with him to all his social gatherings, and they all like looked at him weird. They're like, what the hell is that? He's like, It's my food.
My food, yeah. Yeah. Yummy.
Well, you know, and
for people who, you know, hate to eat.
That's right.
There's all different styles. But yeah, I heard of Soylent. It looks pretty weird. It looks too funky.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen there's several products where you can buy, like Soylent, where you can buy them and they're more for a cleanse. I thought that's what it was in the beginning, where you can buy the, you know, the color-coded bottles and you can, you know, do a cleanse. But that's not what this is. Exactly what Sam described. It's some, you know, spacey kind of,
food supplement.
Food supplement, yeah. Exactly, where if you're stuck in a weightless environment, you can survive. Other than pot brownies, Twinkies, and Red Bull.
Oh, don't forget Trail Mix.
And Trail Mix. That's right. That's right.
But, so if you're sitting in front of your computer for, you know, 20 hours out of the day, you got, you know, you don't have to get up and get food or go to the bathroom or anything.
Exactly.
You just got your Soylent drink.
Yeah, you've got,
the... Yeah, you drink Soylent and you wear Depends. There you go. You're all set. Yeah,
Depends, a Camel Pack, you know.
We've done away with the Mountain Dew and Twinkies and we've added food supplement.
Exactly. So is that upgrade or downgrade? Because, I mean, they're both kind of...
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
Twinkies, you got to like take out of the package.
But Twinkies live forever, right?
I don't know.
Adam and I have already discussed this. We're heading towards Wally. We're heading towards.
Oh, it's already there.
It's our little hover vehicles. Mm-hmm. We're 5,000 pounds. We're slamming down big gulps. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I always feel like the future is going to be a combination of Wall-E, Idiocracy, and the Terminator.
There you go.
Where it's going to be a bunch of fat, useless people who rely on
running
technology.
Running first, from machines.
Yeah. I wish you didn't bring up Idiocracy because it really hurts me.
It's a great
movie. It's so real. No, the movie's great.
But it's happening.
It's reflecting.
It's real life happening right now.
It's reflecting what's going on, and it really hurts the shit out of me.
I think it's
going
to be a version of that Matt Damon film where the wealthy and the affluent were taken to a separate location.
Elysium.
Elysium, exactly. And the rest of us fat bastards will be here.
Yeah, mine away and have no health benefits.
Oh,
and,
darn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like Gattaca.
Or what was the other one with that? Bruce Willis, Surrogates?
Surrogates.
Yeah, where everybody's plugged in forever and nobody wants to get out of the system, so they just kind of waste away.
We're definitely heading in that direction.
Yeah.
But either way, I will go with you guys. I promise. I'll ask.
We should look up Groupon and group rates.
Yeah.
See what
we'll take a look. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
We'll do a field report.
I'll bring the handicap parking. So we can get
perfect.
Spot.
Perfect. That's why we're bringing you.
Adam
him.
Has that. It's the star, right? It's the Dallas.
No. We all have one. It's called the participation trophy. I can park here.
It's in my wallet.
Oh, did you watch news this week? One of the universities.
I don't watch news.
One of the universities was handing out participation trophies to everybody.
Yes.
For the millennials. It was freaking hilarious.
Nice.
Because, like, even everyone that came to attend the millennial celebration.
Yes.
They wanted
we got a trophy. Like,
why were we celebrating millennials?
Oh, they were being sarcastic about it. University.
Yes.
It was hilarious because.
They're trolling them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And some of the students were like, they were complimented. They're like, oh, really? Thanks. Like,
I got my trophy. Yay.
They didn't understand they were being trolled. Yeah. They didn't understand the concept of being trolled. I was like, this is the best idea ever.
Well, I found something we'll bring up in another show, the whole millennial thing. And their new, not plant-based, mm-hmm. their plant living environments and how they... how they have engendered this new population of people that are have indoor plants, jungle, what do they call it? They call it city gardens or modern jungles. And so we'll bring that up. The millennials, they're
we're doing some weird stuff.
They're wacky. They're going crazy. But guys, thank you so much for being here. Chris, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
Had a lot of great information. Like I said, I don't get out a lot, so I'd love to hear everybody's opinions. As far as opinions, please let us know. Subscribe to us. Click on us. Twitter, Facebook, WordPress. We're on everything. Thepodbaydoor.com. Check in with us, and you'll hear all the latest episodes, all the nerd talk. We try to keep it grounded with Vegas, but we have many generations that are able to talk about many different things. We love the tech. We'll bring up anything you guys want to bring up. We'll argue everything. Obviously, we can have a lot of fun doing it, but thank you for listening. Keep listening. We're going to give you a schedule what the next show is. We got some hiatus period coming up, but I will make sure that everybody knows when the next show is, but thank you so much. We're on every Tuesday at podbaydoor.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy.
Catch you next time.
Thanks to everyone listening and watching. You can catch the Podbay Door on the Podbean app or any of your favorite podcast apps, including iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. You can watch the show on our YouTube channel at the Podbay Door Podcast. Please download, like, and subscribe. Our social connectivity screen is coming up. Check in with us on Facebook, Twitter, and WordPress. The Podbay Door is closed and Talon is out. Hey, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning into the show. We would love to hear your show suggestions and comments. If you are watching on our YouTube channel, please click to subscribe. You can also connect with us on Facebook using at PBDPodcast, on Twitter using at TPBDPodcast, and on WordPress at thepodbaydoor.wordpress.com.